Good morning, everyone. Good morning. There's a whole bunch of people still out in the foyer. Welcome to our service this morning at the Vines at Woodcroft. Welcome to those of you who are watching online. Happy Father's Day to the fathers and the grandfathers. Do we have any great grandfathers here? No? Yes, we do. Yep, a couple of hands up there. For the dads, I hope you have a good day. I know days like Mother's Day and Father's Day can present challenges for some people, but pray that whatever your circumstance, that you will know God's presence in your life today, and most importantly, God is our Father, because we have a great and wonderful Father. I just invite us all to close our eyes for a moment and just be still before God, and I'm going to pray a prayer of confession on our behalf, which comes from the Australian Prayer Book. But it's always good to be still before God, to acknowledge our need for God. And so we pray, merciful God, our Maker and our Judge, we have sinned against you in thought, word and deed, and in what we have failed to do. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. We repent and are sorry for all our sins. We praise you, Father, that you do forgive, that you have forgiven all of us. Strengthen us to love and obey you in newness of life, in and through our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Psalm 86, change glasses, says this in part, verses 11, 12 and 13. Teach us your way, Lord, that we may rely on your faithfulness. Give us undivided hearts, that we may fear your name, that we may be in awe of your name. We will praise you, Lord our God, with all our hearts. We will glorify your name forever, for great is your love towards us. We're going to sing a song called Forever, and we are going to praise our Lord. So can we stand and sing together?
Forever God is faithful.
love endures.
Love endures forever. Love endures forever.
Praise you that you are God forever, that your love endures forever, every moment of every day of our lives, from the moment we were conceived to the moment we pass on from this life. And so we give you praise, we give you thanks, Lord. Guide us this day to serve you, to love you, to acknowledge you in all that we do and in all that we are. Amen. Please remain standing.
Father, into your courts
I will enter,
maker of heaven.
Majesty, Lord, before you, alive, alive.
everybody. Turn to those around you. Pass the peace. Give them a smile. High five, low five, side five. I'm not fast. Yes, and while you're at it, wish somebody a happy Father's Day. Good job. Okay, we've got a few notices happening. I've just got everybody to sit down, but if you were involved in any way yesterday at the market, thank you very much. A fair? Is it a spring carnival? No, it's not the show. I'm sure the Adelaide show will be reflecting on holding the Adelaide show on the same day as us. Now, next year, they'll be trying to miss that date. But it was really well done. We raised $2,300 and counting still. Woohoo! So if you were involved on that day, would you please stand up? Yesterday, packing, unstacking, making things, putting things away, buying things, eating things. Yes. Oh, look. Good job. And it was really a great day, actually. We had sunshine and rain and drizzle and sunshine. And I think I want to take responsibility for eating most of the pancake batter. One for the people, one for myself. But it was a really great day. And I've got a list over here. Other things I need to say. So that was really important to be able to celebrate that, and I think it worked really well. And we had lots of conversations with people in the community, which was great. And that's really what it's all about. Leon is also trying to track down, and Daphne as well, the Strawberry Fair manual. Remember that old thing that's probably archival? It was about that thick, and Daphne used to run through every page and every stage. Well, somehow that's been misplaced. If you found it in your bookcase holding up one of your retaining walls, please bring it back. We need it. I think, yes, Father's Day is particularly a special day for a variety of reasons, like Mother's Day, recognising our parents. And I guess, like all things, it's a bit messy at times, isn't it? Because lots of us don't have our fathers with us, but that legacy still lingers. Or maybe there's a whole lot of complicating factors. But today we want to recognise, and for those of you online who are still in your PJs eating your Father's Day breakfast, half your luck. Enjoy that. All right, kids, let's come down the front. There's a nice spot down here. I'm going to do some pottery today. Fantastic, wonderful pottery. Come on, fellas, get down the front here, you bashful wonders. I've got all the things I need. I've got my turning wheel. All right, so it looks like a chair. I'll give you that much. So I've got a chair, and I'm going to make this vase. It's going to be massive. It's going to be beautiful. You are going to say, I was at church the day Reverend Dave, Reverend DJP, made this massive, wonderful vase before our very eyes. Rob's a believer. You're going to be so excited. You're not going to be able to put it out of your brain. In fact, I bought my phone. I'm going to take a picture of it after I finish. Right? Are you ready? I've got my special pottery. You know, when you make pottery, it gets messy. I've got my special pottery vase. It's all ready to go. It's ready, sits. And I've got my special pottery shaping thing. Because that's what you do, don't you? You get it, and you shape it. Oh. Oh. Maybe I'm not holding it right. Oh. Oh. Does this thing even work? Oh, yes, it works. So, I'm trying to make a big vase. Why isn't it working? I think I just busted my watch. Look, why is this not working? What's supposed to be happening? I'm making a vase, I've got the clay, I've got my hammer, I've got my mask. Why is it not working?
It's not working because the clay is dry.
Because it's already made. Oh. I forgot. I have no idea. You're probably not hitting it hard enough.
Oh, I'm probably not hitting it hard enough. I like that challenge. No, all right. Okay, so this is a really interesting thing I'm figuring out. So for me to make something new, like a new vase or something, it's no good if it's already made. It has to be what? What does it have to be? It has to be... Oh, it's just like, it's got to be like clay, like soft, like mushy, like I can move it. Oh. It's hard now. It needs to be soft so I can shape it.
Sort of like when you're cooking a pancake.
Oh, it's like when I'm cooking a pancake, it's got to be soft. So I understand. Well, I don't need this then, do I? Well, so you know what? The Bible reading today is talking about God as being like a potter who shapes us, and we're like this. So if God's trying to shape us and we're like this, do you think things change? So what do you think? How do you think God wants us to be? Like if God's trying to shape us, what? I better need this. What does God want us to be like?
How we are.
How we are. Okay. So he wants us to be us. Yes, I like that. What else does God want us to be? So God just wants to shape us into what?
He wants to shape us into different kind of people to everybody else.
So he wants us to be individuals, to be talented, to be wonderful. I like that idea. So each one of us is specially made. And is God trying to do something? So he's trying to be ourselves. And he wants us to show and care and be loving. And if we're like this, pretty hard to learn, isn't it? So the next time you're not learning something, remember, am I being like this? Or am I allowing things to be shaped and moved? God's shaping me. And so that's what we do at church. Church is coming along and being shaped, whether you believe it or not. You'll come along, the Holy Spirit's doing a bit of work on you, and you can be like this. Oh, we can be soft and changed. It's a bit like, yeah, I think the point's made. Do you understand what I'm trying to say here?
Yeah.
When God wants to change us, no point being. We have to be open and let God into our hearts so he can change us to be who we are, the beautiful, wonderful, fantastic people God has made us to be. Woohoo! Didn't think you'd come to church and be called fantastic, did you? Whoa, good stuff. All right, let me say a prayer. And I'll get you guys to jump back in. Have we got some drawing things somewhere? You guys got some drawing things? We got some. Get some pencils for you. You can do some drawings and show me after, all right? Let's pray, people. Lord Jesus, thank you for today. We thank you that you want to change us to be more like ourselves because you love us so much. We just offer this time to you in Jesus' name. And people said,
amen.
Thank you. Good on you, guys. Good job.
We're going to bring our offerings forward now. Sing a great old hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. I'd invite you to stand for this one, please.
Great is thy faithfulness.
Thank you for your faithfulness, day by day by day by day, never ceasing, never ending, with us always. We praise you, Lord, that you give to us in abundance. And so, Lord, we give back to you now the offerings that Pam is holding, the offerings that have been given online, and pray, Lord, that out of your faithfulness, we may be enabled to be equally faithful as we seek to serve one another and to serve the people of this community. Help us, Lord, guide us, direct us as we look to you. We pray in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. Please take your seats.
Good morning. The reading this morning is taken from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18, verses 1 to 11. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as it seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, "Can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does?" declares the Lord, "like clay in the hand of the potter. So you are in my hand, Israel. If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down and destroyed, and if that nation I warned repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. And if at another time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I had intended to do for it. Now, therefore, say to the people of Judah and those living in Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says. Look, I am preparing a disaster for you and devising a plan against you. So turn from your evil ways, each one of you, and reform your ways and your actions. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We'd like to teach you a song as we prepare for communion, which I sang during the distribution of the bread and wine back in July, if you were here at the beginning of July. We'll sing the first verse twice, so you pick up the melody, then just join in when we come back to it for the second time. This is my body, broken for you. Take it, remembering I died for you. Take it and eat it, and as you do, remember my presence within you. This is my body. This is my body. Broken for you. Take it, remembering I died for you. Take it and eat it, and as you do, remember my presence within you. This is my blood poured out for you. Drink it, remembering I died for you. Take it and drink it, and as you do, remember my presence within you. I am with you always, till the end of time, present within you, my love, you are mine. I am the bread of life, I am the true vine. Feast at my table, come, let us dine. I am the bread of life, I am the true vine. Feast at my table, come, let us dine. Feast at my table, let us die.
Thank you. So, welcome again to this table, which one of the things I love about the United Church, and often when people ask me, David, what church do you belong to? You know, what denomination are you? I said, I'm with the not fussy. Look, like our communion table, it is open to all. Whether you come here regularly, this is your first time, it really doesn't matter. This is an open table. Whether you're old or young, your faith is this big or this big, this is an open table. And we're invited to come, not because I do it or the vines do it. You're invited because the love of Christ knows no distinction and hasn't for 2,000 years past, nor will 2,000 years future. So when we gather together, we're really taking the opportunity to fill ourselves with the hope and grace that we need in our lives. And life gets pretty complicated, as we know. You just have to open the Sunday mail and get past the Harvey Norman ads, and then we get the news. But we know that the news is just full of so much stuff. So, no doubt in Paul's time, And in Jesus' time, when Jesus gathered all the disciples around, and you know, no doubt the women were present too, because someone had to serve them. The men didn't know how to do that. Thankfully, it's Father's Day. Whew. But when Jesus was gathered around the table with his disciples and followers, he was really doing something special, making a connection that would go beyond that time and into our lives. And Paul recorded, he said that, look, someone passed on to me who was there, that on the night Christ was betrayed, he took bread and broke it. And said, this is my body broken for you. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup with its rich red wine and said, this is my blood which is shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And every time you gather together, there I am with you. And it's a beautiful, powerful image. And it's a more than an image, because as we join and celebrate in this, it becomes a reality for us. So normally when we get together, we share some words on the overhead. So if you'd like to join in the red, that would be good. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
Here and now God waits
for lives
with his spirit of love to immerse us in forgiveness and new life, to be the difference in the world for others
by being the voice of love,
hands and feet of hope, by giving people something to talk to, reaching out, being molded by the grace of God. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, as we gather together, it's also a great time to pray for others. And we know in our community there's lots of things going on. Points of celebration, points of grief. And, you know, so we want to just pause. We want to think of Malcolm. His mother's died Friday night. So that we want to pause and think of him and Sally. And we know others in our community have other points of grief as well. But we know we're a part of a bigger picture, the world. So we're going to spend some time and pray. So let's pause. I'll simply invite us to pray, and then you can offer your silent prayers. Or if you want to pray out loud, feel free. Lord God, we come to this place and we celebrate the fact you love us. We're really thankful for being in Australia at this time in our conflicted world. And as we think about our own joys of being in this place, we can't help but feel saddened and feel called to prayer for the other places in the world that are full of chaos, conflict and war. So Lord, we pause now and offer our prayers for those places. We ask that your peace would reign somehow, that amongst all the insanity, that peace will come. So again, I invite you to take a moment and pray for a country, a situation. Lord, we think of others in our community here in Australia. And we know there's lots of stuff going on here too, even though we're not facing war. We know there's lots of pressures being squeezed on people, financial, emotional, as we try and come out of COVID. We know people have put on their cranky pants probably more times than they have in recent years. So, Lord, we pray for those who are really struggling with their anger and their disappointment, their frustrations. We think maybe of those who, at Father's Day, really are struggling for whatever reason that might be. Lord, again, we offer to you our prayers for these situations. Again, I invite you to think of someone or a situation and pray for them. And Lord, we pause now to think of ourselves. And look, sometimes we come to church pretty hardened, frustrated, maybe not really in the mood to have the love of God speak into our hearts. Lord, we come to this time and we ask that you might soften us, that we might be open in ways that maybe we haven't been for a while. that you would continue to bring change and hope and love in our hearts and lives. Again, I invite you to offer your prayer to God in whatever way that is needed. Holy Spirit, you are the presence of Christ in this world. We ask that you would continue to fill us. Use these simple elements that are in front of us to be another sign and foretaste of your kingdom, a real affirmation of your love and commitment and grace. Amen. Let's share together the Lord's Prayer, a prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, which covers all things. Let's pray this together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us in the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. So one of the wonderful things about this meal, and I think I'll just move that before I whack it, is that, as I said before, it's an open table. And there's lots of different ways in which we can affirm that. But the affirmation fundamentally is about God's undeserved favor towards us. And when we gather in this environment and share these simple elements, that reinforces, again, the choice of God's love for us. So come, not because I invite you, but because Christ himself is present. Come if your faith is this big. Or a little big. Come, not because I welcome you, but Christ himself is here present, so that your lives might be changed and you might discover again new life in all its hope. Lord, thank you for this time together. With the stewards who are coming to help serve, please come forward. And again, we'll serve you in your chairs, and if you hold it, we will then share this together. Thanks, David.
This is my body, broken for you. Take it, remembering I died for you. Take it and eat it, and as you do, remember my presence within you.
Body Christ, broken for you. Eat and remember. Body Christ, broken for you. Eat and remember his love. Friends, let's eat and remember the body of Christ, which is broken for us.
This is my blood poured out for you. Drink it, remembering I died for you. take it and drink it, and as you do, remember my presence within you. I am with you always, till the end of time, present within you.
Drink, my love, remember his love.
You are mine.
Christ,
I am the bread of life. I am the true vine. Feast at my table. Come, let us dine. I am the bread of life. I am the true vine. Feast at my table. Come, let us dine, feast at my table, come, let us dine.
Friends, let us drink and remember the love of Christ, his blood shed for us. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your love that knows no end. We continue to open our lives and heart to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. There's a prayer I'd like us to share together. On the next slide through. So it's, hopefully you can see that, so hopefully it's not too small. A prayer to remember who you are in God's eyes. And I love the way the kids were talking about how where God wants to shape us to be who we are. That's a beautiful thing. And there's a sense in which this is really what we're trying to say. So let's pray this together. Dear God, there are moments when I forget who I am and the treasure you have given me. In my moments of doubt and weakness, would you remind me that you have chosen me? You have placed within me a treasure that you will strengthen me in my greatest weakness. Would you help me remember who it is that you have made me to be? And who it is that lives within me. Help me to live in the power that's been given to me. Amen. So it's really a wonderful affirmation of our journey together. And our last little slide, which we will share together. Sorry, kids, that first word is community, which really means family. So God in family, one together. Let's say this together. God in community, holy in one, continue to create, continue to speak, continue to breathe for us, on us, through us, for us, until we can do it for others. Amen. So today is we're continuing our third in our series of discipleship flow. Week one, we were talking about God calls and we respond. And we picked up the idea of Jeremiah. God called him and he had to respond. And the same for us. The second one we picked up was really when we are struggling in life, sometimes people forget their story. They forget their salvation history. They forget their connections with God. And instead of asking, where's God? Or where is God with me? It's almost like they have amnesia and forget totally. And this week, we're really picking up the idea of God being the potter and us being the clay. God and life mold us. What does that mean? Now, let me just start with a prayer. Some Sundays I need more prayer than others. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for life. And as we ponder on this special day, we ask that you might give us a glimpse, either through the songs or the words, communion, that might just continue to enliven us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, the first slide we have coming up here, You know, for our Christian sensibilities, sometimes we struggle a little bit when we hear or read words like this scripture. Because we have to remember the Old Testament and the New Testament are combined into the Bible, but they are different in the focus. And sometimes as Christians, when we look at the Old Testament, we go, what is going on? So, let me read this out. Where Jeremiah speaks to the people of Israel, those who are left, and says, and at another moment I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will build and plant it. But if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I will change my mind about the good that I intended it. Now therefore, says the Lord, the people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, look, I'm a potter shaping evil against you and devising a plan against you. Turn now, all of you, from your evil way and amend your ways and doings. Golly. You know, I have enough trouble when someone says, David, I don't like what you cooked. Or, David, I don't like the way you mowed the lawn. Let alone having some word of judgment that seems to say, look, I am the potter, you are the clay, I'm going to shape some evil. So the question is, well, does that apply to us? You know, we had a young man come in to the church last week. Probably it was 40. Yeah, I'm getting old. He came into our congregation and at the end of the service went round to share his mission. And there's probably 10 people he spoke to. And so I caught up with him and some were very gracious. But he was basically saying he was on a mission because World War III was coming and we were all going to be judged, and so we had to care for each other. And you know, when people start quoting Daniel and Revelations at you, you know where they're going. So, and not Queensland, no. That's a round of applause, please. So, yes, not Queensland. And then, look, there's lots of different religions that have quite happily sit with the idea that God judges and brings judgment. You know, if you look at Hinduism, while God's not necessarily bring evil or judgment on people, there's this thing called karma. You know, in fact, you are born into your caste. So if you're an untouchable, it's because your previous life, you're an idiot, or you did something really bad, or you deserve to be there. So there's a sense in which judgment occurred. And different, like Islam sits really quite comfortably with the political and the religious, and are quite happy to see judgment as a natural part of how God works. So, you know, I mean, I remember when I was at college, there was a big debate, and Anna Catlin used to be the minister at Happy Valley. Her and lecturer Biggs used to often have a conversation, was there grace present in the Old Testament? Now, grace is the unfettered favor, you know, God's free choice of us. Did that exist in the Old Testament? Now, you might be surprised, but the Old Testament people saw this as a really hopeful verse. Hopeful, you say? Hopeful because it says, thus says the Lord, look, I'm a potter shaping evil against you and devising a plan against you. Turn now and amend your ways. So the old people, the Old Testament saw that as, actually, we have a choice. We're not powerless victims that just sit here and get pummeled. We have a choice. And the prophet was saying, you have a choice. You can change and do things differently. Now, in many ways, it sounds a bit more like this next slide. The carrot and the stick. You know, I guess people say to their kids now, be good and you'll get to have some chocolate. Or be good and you'll be able to eat all your vegetables. We'll give you a second serving. Be good. You know what the deal is. Carrot and a stick. It's very much the Old Testament understanding, but actually it's very much how we do business too, isn't it? Carrot and the stick. We like to be nice to people so they'll be nice back. And we know that, you know where I'm going with this too, don't you? While that's a real sense of Old Testament, it also flows into our lives as well. So there's a part of our human nature that just rolls with this. And so the question is, well, what are we doing with this? How do we understand this whole situation? The next slide picks up, I think, really the critical part of this verse. Right at the beginning of this, the scripture we had, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, come down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words. So Jeremiah went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his will. The vessel he was making was of clay, was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel as it seemed good to him. Now this is, I think, the heart of the good news or grace for the people in the Old Testament, which flows across to us. You know, as the potter, something went wrong with the clay as he was spinning it. Now, he could have just simply got up, or she could have simply got up, and just simply got the clay, threw it away. But the potter didn't. Potter had a plan of making it like this. Something happened, so they made it like that. And it's a bit like sliding doors, maybe, you know, in our lives. We're going along this way, we're thinking, this is the way life's going to be. Something happens and it's like, oh, it's this way. Part of the hope for the Old Testament scripture was that God never gave up on his people, even though the historical events seemed to be set against them. When they thought back over their history, they could see the points where God was active and chose them time and time again. And even if their behavior was poor, and part of the reason we have the new covenant is because they just couldn't keep the old covenant. They kept making mistakes. And God in the end had to do something different, which was just based on grace. Because it's really hard to try and maintain being good. I haven't met anybody who's been able to do that on their own. Nothing personal. You're wonderful people. I love you very much. And when I look in the mirror, I love myself. But I'm not perfect. I cannot maintain. I need some help. I need grace. Sometimes I'm as hard-hearted as this thing. Sometimes I'm as hard-headed as this thing. And God says, well, it's very hard to mold you and shape you if you're going to be that hard, people. God says, I want to make you into something. When things go wrong, I want to reshape you into something else to help you work through that. And it's that relationship, partnership, where this comes to play. The next slide. God does not discard us after our mistakes. Rather, God wants to reshape us. Our choice is to be open by taking responsibility for actions. Now, that was one example. So for me, part of my being open to God is being willing to take responsibility for my actions when I make a mistake, when I say something I shouldn't, when I just am wearing my wrong pants, my cranky pants instead of my happy pants. For others, being open might be praying, might be coming to church, might be a whole lot of stuff. I don't know what does it for you. What is it that helps you go from hard-headed, hard-hearted, to being open to God? I don't know what it is. Part of this opportunity today is to pause and open our hearts again and maybe to reflect on some of those things that, yeah, we need to continue to change or be open on. So I'm going to give you a moment to think about, well, what is it? What do you connect with? Was it the song? Was it the prayer? Was it something you saw on the way to church? Was it something that we've talked about or prayed about? So I'll give you a little moment just to think. What is one thing you're connecting with? What thing are you taking away? Holy Spirit, come. Fill us again with your love that shapes and moves and flows through us. like a beautiful, ever-flowing stream of life and love in our lives. Amen. Thanks, Ed.
I think one of the things that spoke to me, and the things David spoke of, was the passage from verse 4 of Jeremiah 18. He, that is the potter, reworked it into another vessel as seemed good to him. And it reminded me of what Paul wrote. I have been crucified in Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Christ lives in us. Christ lives in you. And there's that sense, whereas a potter works with the outside of the clay and molds it and so on, I think in some ways God works on us from the inside out. Leave that thought with you. The other takeaway for me today is just God's faithfulness forever, and that came up in a couple of the songs we sang about. God is always with us. And if we're going to be like the clay of Jeremiah in the hands of the potter, we keep our eyes fixed on our God. Let's stand and sing.
Our lives.
Father's hand.
Great to see you all here today again. And remember, on your way out, there's an opportunity to buy some extra Father's gifts for yourself or someone else or whatever. But as you go from this place, know that the love of Christ goes with you forever. So go in peace to serve the Lord. Amen.
And also remember, there's opportunity for prayer always after the services. If you would like someone to pray with you, just wander down and someone will come and do that for you.
Take us, mold us, use us, fill us, we give our lives to the potter's hand. You've called us, you guide us.